Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. Have we got anyone on Zoom this morning?
Yes, several there.
Welcome to people on Zoom. Nice to have you with us. I hear Shelley. I'll just start us off with family news. All the normal stuff on this week, Girls Brigade, tea and chat, Wednesday evening Bible study, Thursday afternoon Bible study. If you need to know any details of any of that, give me a shout. Saturday, those of you who have looked at the newsletter for last month, we have a quiz night on Zoom. If anyone wants to join in a quiz night on Zoom, I have some leaflets here with the Zoom login details. They aren't the normal church Zoom login details, but you can take them and share them with anyone that you think might like to join us. My suggestion was, if you want to do it, feel free to get together with some people in your house and get together in a group and join in as a group, or you can just come in on your own. I'd be interested if people want to join in, just to let me know that they want to join in, just so that I know how many people we might be expecting. Otherwise, it might just be me and Mum and Dad doing the quiz night on their own. But that's Saturday at 7:30. As I say, leaflets are here if you want them. Couple of things from last week's church meeting. The Harvest Fund is still open. The Harvest Fund will be open until the end of the month. Proceeds are going to WAM, I believe. Yeah, I did remember well. I've got the latest WAM newsletter here if anyone wants to have a look and see what the work that TWAM do, that your proceeds would be going to. I'm going to leave that on the chair here. Just because I spread out my paperwork and go, I can't find anything. So TWAM information's there if anyone wants to have a look at that. And it's coming up to that time of year again. We need to talk about Christmas. Boxing Day this year will be on a Sunday. And we know that a lot of people have family stuff going on at that time. Boxing Day is kind of a family day. So, straw poll, if we have a service in the church on Boxing Day, who's likely to be here? Don't feel obliged. I'm not judging anyone for saying, actually, I'll stay with my family. Okay. Okay. That's fine. So we've got a few people. We'll see. We'll see what we come up with.
You might set some more people here to get a more accurate picture, because today they're at the
true. I will ask you again next week. Yes, Neil?
I was always taught Boxing Day was never at the weekend. It was always on a weekday. So on that basis, Boxing Day wouldn't be on Sunday. It should be Monday.
It's still the day after Christmas Day. And the Girls Brigade are holding a Christmas fair in the church on the 11th of December. I will put all of this in a newsletter, but I'm just giving you prior warning. Girls Brigade are holding a Christmas fair on the 11th of December. Debbie will be asking for volunteers for things like refreshments, possibly donations of prizes or but Debbie will be in touch next week. Again next week. But just have a think about whether you might be able to help with any of that. Is there anything else?
Yes, in addition to collecting for TWAM, and that fund will remain open until the end of November, if you wish to make a donation to TWAM, put your donation in an envelope marked TWAM. If you want to make a donation over the internet via internet banking, then let me know that the donation you've made into church funds is for TWAM. We're also still collecting for the church in India, and I'm sure that most people here are aware of the valuable work that they do with the poor in their region in Southwest India, sorry, Southeast India, get it right. You know, if you wish to make a contribution to that, likewise, in an envelope marked India, and if you are an income taxpayer, then gift aid it, please.
Just repeating that. If you want to make a donation for TWAM, you can do that in an envelope in the church, or you can do that through the bank. Mark TWAM, or send Mike an email letting him know that that's what it's for. And the same goes for donations for the church in India, which we normally collect around this time of year. Well, we collect all the time, but specifically at this time of year.
Has Mary made it home?
Mary is here today.
Hello. Fantastic. Good to see you.
Anything else? Any more family news? Okay, let's pray. Lord, as we gather today in your name, whether in the building or on Zoom, may we know your presence with us. In praise, would you lift us up? In prayer, would you meet our needs? In your word, would you speak, encourage and restore us? May our service this morning and all that we do throughout the week be to your glory. Amen. So we sing our first hymn this morning, And Can It Be?
Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who gave him to death pursued. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, wouldst die?
Thank you that we can approach your throne. We can approach your throne in prayer in the blood of Jesus. And we bring these concerns to you, spoken and unspoken. These people who need you to touch their lives, to bring healing and restoration, and peace, and bliss. Lord, these things are important to us, and we know that you can. I just pray that you would be in each and every situation. Touch these people and the people around them, and lift them. Jesus. We'll continue in prayer in a little while, the specific prayers around conflict and the Remembrance Day side of things. I want to tell you a story this morning. It's a story about King David, and I am watching the time. So. It's a story about King David. His son Absalom had turned against him. He wanted to be king himself. He'd got together an army and driven David and David's followers out of Jerusalem. David was afraid, humiliated, betrayed. And Absalom's army was still following them. He needed David dead. David had a lot of men around him and they went out to fight. The commander of the army killed Absalom and he sent a man from a place called Cush to tell David the news. I'm going to read to you from 2 Samuel 18, verse 31 to 19, verse 4. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he wept, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Joab was told, "The king is weeping and mourning for Absalom and for the whole army. The victory that day was turned into mourning because on that day the troops heard it and said, 'The king is grieving for his son.' The men stole into the city that day as men steal in who are ashamed when they flee from battle. The king covered his face and cried aloud, 'Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" I tell you that story this Remembrance Sunday morning because it's a story of war, a story of death and grief. It's a story of a man whose enemy was killed, the enemy who wanted to kill him, who returned to his throne victorious. The messenger brought the good news: "Your enemy is dead, you're safe, the fight is over." But David recognized not just the relief from war, but the grief of death, even the death of his enemy. And when we think today of the wars of the past, as well as those ongoing in the present, there's a grief associated with that. A grief for loss of life on all sides. We can be blinded by numbers to forget that these are actual people, friend or enemy. People with love and fears, families, problems. Some fight for what they believe in. Some just follow orders. But all endure hardship and grief and pain. And that grief and pain grieves God, and it should grieve us. So we come in prayer for those in the midst of conflict at this time, whatever side they're on, and we cry out to God for peace. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this story. A story of love for enemies, even before the days of Jesus. And Lord, I want to lift to you those in situations of conflict right now. Those countries where men and women are still fighting, still hurting, still grieving. Those families enduring the uncertainty of knowing that their loved ones are away at war. Those communities living in fear of what's happening around them. Lord, I pray for your hand to touch lives, to bring hope and comfort and strength. I pray for those in authority that they might be moved to peace. May those in power learn love, peace, forgiveness, healing. May we see the day when swords are beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, when your peace reigns in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to we're going to have a 2 minute silence shortly. Oops, sorry. Thank you. We're going to have our 2 minute silence shortly. And after that, we'll sing again. And then I'm going to read you a poem by a guy called Geoffrey Scudder Kennedy. He's a chaplain in World War I. He was known as Woodbine Willie for his sharing of cigarettes with the soldiers, as well as his care for them on the front line. As he reflected on his experiences after the war, he reflected on that grief of war and death and loss. And he reflected on the suffering of God. God who suffers with us. As the only way to make sense of the suffering of humanity. I've got a minute to go, a minute and a half. It's that awkward time where there isn't time for me to say anything else.
Say the Lord's Prayer.
We could say the Lord's Prayer. Shall we do that? Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'll invite you, if you would like to stand for the 2 minutes silence, to stand. And Mike, would you play the video clip? I think you have to skip the hymn and play the
Friends, let us remember in silence before God all those who have died in war. Thank you. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.
Thank you.
yours wants to blow out. Yep. Children are going to go out and I'll read you that part. If he could speak, that victim torn and bleeding, caught in his pain and nailed upon the cross, has he to give the comfort souls are needing? Could he destroy the bitterness of loss? Once and for all, men say he came and bore it. Once and for all, set up his throne on high, conquered the world and set his standard o'er it, dying that once that men might never die. Yet men are dying, dying soul and body, cursing the God who gave to them their birth. Sick of the world with all its sham and shoddy, sick of the lies that darken all the earth. Peace we were pledged, yet blood is ever flowing. Where on the earth has peace been ever found? Men do but reap the harvest of their sowing. Sadly, the songs of human reapers sound. Sad as the winds that sweep across the ocean, telling to earth the sorrow of the sea. Vain is my strife, just empty, idle motion. All that has been is all there is to be. So on the earth the time waves beat in thunder, bearing wrecked hopes upon their heaving breasts, bits of dead dreams and true hearts torn asunder, flecked with red foam upon their crimson crests. How can it be that God can reign in glory, calmly content with what his love has done, reading unmoved the piteous, shameful story, all the vile deeds men do beneath the sun? Are there no tears in the heart of the eternal? Is there no pain to pierce the soul of God? Then must he be a fiend of hell infernal, beating the earth to pieces with his rod? Or is it just that there is naught behind it, nothing but forces purposeless and blind? Is the last thing, if mortal man could find it, only a power wandering as the wind? Father, if he, the Christ, were thy revealer, truly the first begotten of the Lord, then must thou be a sufferer and a healer, pierced to the heart by the sorrow of the sword. Then must it mean not only that thy sorrow smote thee that once upon the lonely tree, but that today, tonight, and on the morrow, still it will come, O gallant God, to thee. Swift to its birth in spite of human storm, hastens the day the storm clouds roll apart, rings o'er the earth the message of the morning. Still on the cross, the Saviour bears his heart. Passionately fierce, the voice of God is pleading, pleading with men to arm them for the fight. See how those hands majestically bleeding call us to rout the armies of the night. Not to the work of sordid, selfish saving of our own souls to dwell with him on high, but to the soldier's splendid, selfless craving, eager to fight for righteousness and die. Peace does not mean the end of all our striving. Joy does not mean the drying of our tears. Peace is the power that comes to souls arriving up to the light where God himself appears. Joy is the wine that God is ever pouring into the hearts of those who strive with him, lightening their eyes to vision and adoring, strengthening their arms to warfare glad and grim. So would I live, and not in idle resting, stupid as swine that wallow in the mire. Fain would I fight, and be forever breasting danger and death forever under fire. Bread of thy body, give me for my fighting. Give me to drink thy sacred blood for wine. While there are wrongs that need me for the righting, while there is warfare splendid and divine. Give me for light the sunshine of thy sorrow. Give me for shelter, shadow of thy cross. Give me to share the glory of thy morrow. Gone from my heart the bitterness of loss. As the writer ends that poem in a note of hope, that in God's sorrow, in the shadow of the cross, is light and shelter and a future. So we sing again. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Alan's going to come and give us our reading this morning.
Good morning, folks. This reading comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14.
We'll do it in a second.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? But don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self is crucified to him with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, can't you count yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are no longer under the law, but under grace. This is the word of God.
Going to be a short one. Don't worry, those of you who are looking at the clock. We can take that off. We continue our sermon series on life events today, and it's not getting any easier, because today I want to talk about something that no one ever wants to talk about, and that's death and dying. And to make it just a bit harder, I'm going to try at this point not to talk about resurrection, because that's next week's topic. But I don't want this to be terribly downbeat. Because the fact is, death is a part of life. The ultimate certainty. We'll all face it. What worries us, I think, is that not only is it the ultimate certainty, but we think it's the ultimate unknown. No one's been through it and lived to tell the tale, except Jesus, but he wasn't very forthcoming on the details. I don't know about you, but I know that I hope in the resurrection, which, as I said, we'll come to next week. It's not what happens after death that bothers me. It's death itself. But something so inherently natural, it seems so unnatural, doesn't it? Perhaps there's something cultural in that. We're sheltered from the reality for most of our lives until it intrudes uncomfortably into our consciousness. A few years ago, our family visited an old abbey in Scotland, and I was fascinated to see on their gravestones symbols of death and judgment, a message of "you too will die" rather than words of hope. I wonder if that message of dying is a message we do need to hear. Firstly, we need to hear it because it reminds us to live. Tony used to have a favourite song which we played at his funeral, which is called "Live Like You Were Dying." And it speaks of a man who'd received a terminal diagnosis and proceeded to make the most of the time he had left. literally ticking off his bucket list. And he concludes with the words, "Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying." In life, we do have to plan for tomorrow, but we can't always assume it will be. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, "There is nothing better than to eat and drink, find satisfaction in your work, because life is a gift from God." But secondly, we need to hear it because it reminds us how to live. The letter to the Hebrews said, "Man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment." Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says the sting of death is sin. That doesn't sound like very good news, does it? If my deeds are going to be judged, if God is going to confront me with every sin and failure, no wonder the idea of death is daunting. I tell you, if it comes down to do my good deeds outweigh the bad ones, I'm not sure I'd like to bet eternity on the outcome. But this is where I want to take you back to today's reading. Paul says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." I want to suggest to you today that death is a two-stage process. There's the physical death of our bodies, which comes as part of the natural order of things. We can put it off, but we can't avoid it forever. But there's also a spiritual death. Revelation 21 speaks of a second death at the judgment, when God brings justice on those living lives of sin. And it's this spiritual death where we find the sting caused by sin. The wages of sin is death. Not the physical that comes to everyone, but the spiritual. And I want to say that that's good news. It's good news that there's a spiritual death and a physical death. Because we've already been through it. We've already died that spiritual death. Paul says we died with Christ. Our old self was crucified with him. We were baptized into his death, united with him in his death. We are dead to sin. We will not be judged in our sinful nature because our sinful nature has been put to death on the cross with Jesus. As Christians, we've been through that spiritual death, and who we are now has come out the other side. We still face temptation in our bodies. Sin still seeks to get a grip on us, but it has no power over us, no hold on the spirit which has been united with Christ. Paul writes to the Romans to remind them they must not allow sin to reign in their bodies now it has no place in their spirit. As we seek to live lives free of sin so that the actions of our body correspond to the resurrected, born-again life of our spirit. But the body will still die and those final vestiges of sin with it. And then we're completely free. We have no fear of judgment because our judgment has already come. John 3 verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." We've believed in Jesus. We've died a spiritual death with him on the cross. We've experienced the spiritual new life. For the one whose spirit is no longer tied to sin, where is the sting of death? Paul says to the Corinthians, death has been swallowed up in victory. So while we know the pain of death, while we grieve over death that comes to our loved ones and the loss of their presence from our lives, while we acknowledge the goodness of the here and now and the loss we'll face when we leave them, we can recognise that death is not new and unknown and something to be feared. We've been there, done that at the spiritual level. And we can trust God that he will carry us through at the physical level too. And if that physical level is painful and unpleasant, we look again to Christ on the cross, suffering and helpless, the wounded healer who holds us and comes alongside us in our trouble. And we remember these words of Paul in Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. What shall we say then in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I praise you that you chose to come and suffer and die, that we might have life. Thank you that you have enabled us to die that spiritual death, and we need no longer fear your judgment. Thank you that you have promised your presence with us, even when we face our own pain and suffering, that you have been there. You know and you understand. Lord, keep us living according to the spirit life you've given to us, that when you finally release us from these bodies of sin, we may love and praise you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.